Renee says 15 minutes.
Okay, so maybe what we can do is we can start with a report from, are there any other committee reports, first of all, besides the one from the Elections Committee? I'm not aware of any, but that doesn't mean there aren't any. Okay, so maybe we can start with the report from the Elections Committee, and then we'll go to a report from Renee.
Chair, this is Paulina, if I may.
Hello?
Very briefly. Chair, this is Paulina, if I may.
Yeah.
Would it make more sense if we went to Lawrence's motion, since I think that Renee probably will have things to comment on from the Elections Committee? Don't you think it might be more appropriate if we took up a separate matter completely until she got here? And that is a 10-minute item, right?
That does make a lot of sense. Does anybody object to that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I object.
Okay, we have an objection. So we'll just go straight to the report from the Elections Committee. And Renee can join us whenever she can join us.
All right, Chair, I believe that Janine is prepared to give that report.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Janine?
We've been meeting on a weekly basis. And before the PNB meetings, we've had a motion that was forwarded 2 weeks ago, but wasn't addressed last week because of your executive session. So, but one of the things that we're finding is that there's still a lot of balloting and candidate, the feeling that the balloting is incomplete. There is two people that are involved with governance, with the governing body, that have not either not received their ballot or someone in their family. So that's very concerning. There is also a report that of KPFK, the membership list that was forwarded at the beginning of balloting for candidates to send out emails was incomplete by over 15% of the names weren't given. It's been rectified very recently, but we only have a week left of the elections. Also, there's been no report of the bounce back emails. In fact, the NES hasn't been able to make the last three meetings. And there's still an issue that when people request a ballot, if they haven't gotten it and they request it via email, there's no response that email has been received, the request. And then it's just the candidate carts. They started, two stations, WBAI and KPFK or KPFT, have been edited down to 30 seconds when 60 seconds was recorded by the candidate. And some third party just edited it down to 30 seconds. So, there's an issue that one of the candidates was allowed to record a second and a second cart is being aired. That wasn't really anything that was the candidates were informed was a possibility. So, you know, there's the general feeling that there still hasn't been 30 days with a 1 week left, there still hasn't been 30 days of rotating carts, informational carts, and candidate cards, and the forums really only played once. So there was never any rotation of the forums. So because of that, this is what is behind the motion that was forwarded 2 weeks ago, but it's been modified because now it's a later date. Should I read this or I don't know whether it's been forwarded.
You may read your motion. Sure.
Okay, so this was originally forwarded on September 23rd, and then we amended it on the 30th before the meeting on the 30th, and then we changed the weeks, the dates, and the time frame today as well. Whereas the ongoing elections for listener and staff delegates at all five stations began and have continued without adequate information for members regarding the candidates and the issues, a flaw that is manifest in the low turnout of members who have voted at most stations with only about 1 week of the total 9 weeks of balloting remaining. Whereas in addition to a lack of effective informational carts, this anemic turnout across the network being disenfranchising, there is also a deep concern and specific sightings from governing members within the network that not all membership has received their ballots. Whereas the NES has admitted to the Elections Committee that she does not have the clout to ensure her directives are followed at the stations, be it resolved that the voting be immediately extended at all five stations and that a joint meeting be convened for both the PNB and the Elections Committee to include the NES and the IEG and scheduled by 10/7/21, which would be today, to ensure that all five stations can record and air full candidate carts and forums to run for 30 days in entirety in full rotation, and that direct outreach to the membership is conducted to inform of the election and confirm ballot receipt so that the process can be compliant with the bylaws. And be it further resolved that for the scheduled listener and staff delegate elections next year, no ballots be distributed until adequate and bylaws mandated candidate statements and forms have first started to run prior to the ballots going out and continue running during the voting period.
I have a comment on this.
And Chair, I'd like to be understaffed. Thank you.
Okay. We discussed a previous, I'm kind of upset with this Elections Committee, to tell you the truth. Not because you're bringing a motion to the floor, but your prologue to the motion, all these whereas clauses, is painting a picture of an election that's basically completely flawed and is questioning the integrity of the whole election process. And frankly, it leaves Pacifica open to all kinds of legal problems. And you've been told about this in a previous motion that you submitted to this body, and you've done it again. I don't understand this.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
I'm on stack.
Go ahead,
Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So there are some that think that this election is flawed. We have received public testimony from the public, which is something that's outside of the box of a normal committee would do. And we have been, our hair has been set on fire in regards to that. There's also 2,867 additional email addresses that were recently discovered that were not part of, that were not accessible to the vendors. So I think this is a reasonable request for the PNB to consider. And I take exception to the admonishment to this committee that has been doing diligent work, that has been activated by myself and Janine and the other directors on the committee and the delegates from the stations on the committee. And we have gone around the queue getting station reports as in regards to election information, the rotation, the resolution that was agreed to by this PNB has not been completely carried out. So there are some who think the election has been a flawed process. Granted, we were preoccupied with a referendum that set everything somewhat back. And throughout the whole timeline for the election, out of whack. So I think this is a reasonable request, and we are requesting this as a remedy to for our listeners and to all candidates.
Lawrence, your time is up.
Thank you. I'll finish in 5 seconds, Chair. For all candidates to be made whole. Thank you.
Okay. Who wants to be on the stack?
Comments to the stack.
It was Lydia. I had announced myself after Lawrence.
Ron to the stack.
Okay. Lydia.
Thank you. Lydia Ponce. You know, I took the time to record a 1 minute, cart for the election, and to hear that somebody just went ahead and chopped it in half. I haven't even heard my voice on KPFK once. So I'm, the truth sometimes just has to be spelled out. It is flawed. And to correct it, I stand by this motion. I totally think that there's some type of time extension that must be done. Who knows about the elections? A fourth, a 16th, a hundredth of the people who normally participate. This is really, really, it's really disappointing and hurtful because of the time and the effort that we all put in, all of us, every single one of us on these different committees and PMB. It means nothing if we don't do something about this right here. Thank you.
All right, Thomas.
Yes, I support the motion as well because of anecdotal evidence I've heard here in Washington. Very, very little. There's been efforts on the election, but not nearly enough, I don't believe. And Washington, I realize it's the exception in terms of the political battlefield that we do have a contested election for listeners, but not staff. Unlike the other four stations, but I would also say in relation to the chair's admonition and an expression of embarrassment, it seemed like seemed to be a main motivator. Given the anecdotal and data offered regarding the faults. A recognition of such should be exactly the opposite. It should be not embarrassing, but a recognition and extending the voting by a month would preclude, it seems to me, anyone trying to object to the conduct of the election after the fact as being, we recognized a problem and we took a positive step to address it and there was no harm done. Especially given the level of voting participation up to this point right now. It's my understanding the quotas are close to being met, if haven't been exceeded, but barely so. So this, a 10% turnout in an election that's, these do happen every year, and granted, there's a lot of burnout in
Pacifica. Thomas, your time is up.
All right, thank you. I urge their colleagues to recognize the situation and vote to extend. Thank you.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, the problem I have with this is this simple. You're asking us to take your word for it. You're meeting, and having a conversation amongst yourselves and putting forth these motions. But yeah, I don't see any evidence of these allegations. I'm not saying that evidence doesn't exist. But if you're asking us to put a hold to stop the election process and delay it, for whatever period of time, once again, determined by who, and without providing any evidence. You're talking about anecdotal and what you're hearing and things like that. We're talking about disrupting the election, and like I said, it's not perfect. This election is certainly not perfect. None of them have been. None of them will be. But if you're going to ask us to suspend the election, essentially, then put some evidence on the table, and not just have us rely on your word.
Felina, is Renee available yet?
Chair, my hand is up again.
I don't see her on the call.
Lawrence?
I'll wait till let's see if anybody else wants to speak who has not spoken yet, Lawrence.
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Vanessa, okay, go ahead.
So it's a hard situation, it just is. I think, and I hear Ron's point about evidence. I guess I'm on the election committee. I did not vote for this motion, but I'm on the election committee. And as such, you know, I've heard testimony, for lack of a better word, from the NES about decisions were made in terms of taking candidates' 60-second statements and editing them down without input of the candidates to 30 seconds. That's a big deal. There are candidates. I mean, this is the NES saying, yes, it's certain stations, not at PFW, but it's certain other stations. That's what they've done. I don't know what led them to make that decision, but that's what the NES says that they have done. And it's not fair. It's not okay. I mean, there are reasons for that. There was the referendum, which threw everything off kilter. There's the pandemic, which is throwing everything else off kilter. And so there are reasons. And so my only hesitation is, you know, the inclination is how do we fix this? Because some people certainly are being, I don't know the right word, disadvantaged. You know, I know how I think I would feel if my 60-second statement that I put all my time and energy and thought into.
Vanessa, your time is up. Sorry.
Okay. So I'm not sure that extending it would do more harm than good. That's my hesitation. I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Lawrence, you can. Go back. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I try to be a principled fellow. I've learned from the directors, from a lot of directors that are legendary in my mind, like Ambriel Slane, Jim Brown, and others. You know, when something is right in front of you and you don't want to look at it, I don't know what to say. This isn't a few people are getting together to move something forward, to seek a remedy of a troublesome situation. So this is a committee that's composed of directors and delegates from the stations. And the public was invited to provide testimony, and a lot of the public was candidates. So not to water anything down, and principally speaking, that is evidence. Some people, I think I heard a lawyer once say that you are entitled to your opinion, but not you are entitled to your facts, and you're also entitled to your opinion. I guess some people have that opinion, but this isn't a little hidden cabal, some faction meeting in private to make trouble. This is a committee that has been sanctioned. Okay, thank you. I just need 10 seconds, Chair. This is a committee that has been sanctioned by the chair and by this board to meet, and we convened and we met with the National Election Supervisor and the public to address a lot of these concerns, this troublesome election. Thank you. So I urge that you consider an extension.
Ron to the stack.
Okay, Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, my point is this, you know, and I want to reemphasize this. The things that you may be saying, the testimony that you that the committee may have heard, it's just that it's testimony that you guys heard. You know, we don't know any of this. We don't have anything in writing. We don't have no documentation. You know, we don't have anything.
Oh, you have a director on the committee. You have a director on the committee, Ron.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Let me finish.
No, water
me down. Please don't interrupt me.
Water it down.
Lawrence, don't interrupt me.
No crosstalk, please. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, I know that we got two members of PFWs on that committee. I understand all that. But the point is, once again, you're asking us to invoke harsh measures, drastic measures, okay, based on information that you're giving us. We don't know these things. And we haven't even had a conversation with the election supervisor to get her response to this. You know, there are two sides to every story. And so all I'm saying is, put the evidence on the table and so that we can decide properly. You know, we may all decide, hey, this may be a great solution. But at the same time, we might be saying, you get one or two disgruntled people, and all of a sudden you're building that to be a crescendo of things.
Time is up.
Thank you. I'm just saying, put the evidence on the table so that we can see it. That's all.
All right. Paulina, have you gotten in touch with Renee yet?
Renee said she would take about 15 minutes. I don't know if it's been 15 minutes. If we don't see her, that's all I have.
When did she say that?
One sec.
Around 15 minutes ago, right?
We've been waiting a while. I don't know.
Well, Chair, we're at 20 seconds left, and I think we started this while we were waiting, so it's been 20 minutes.
Okay, so maybe we need a motion to extend this item for another, let's give it 15 minutes.
So moved, Chair.
Okay, do we have a second? Do we have a second to extend for 15 minutes?
Some seconds.
Okay, are there any objections to extending for 15 minutes?
Thomas to the stat.
Okay. Mr. Chair, this is the parliamentarian. Lydia's hand has been up.
Oh, I thought that was left over from the last time she spoke.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Lydia, go ahead. Go ahead, Lydia.
I already spoke. I meant to put my hand down. I apologize. Oh,
that's what I thought. Okay. All right, Thomas.
I believe a lot of evidence has been proffered and offered through the election committee reports. It's just not true, Ron, that and anecdotal evidence, especially when it's compiled and you have hundreds. Well, I saw an election committee report in the past month. Maybe the secretary or chair pro tem could comment on the evidence that they have submitted. You describe a month extension of this vote as drastic and extreme. I don't see why. I really don't. We haven't made the quota. If that's not a fact, then please someone contradict it. It's not likely we will in the next week. And as I said, this is a recognition of a lot of the problems that have been discussed, and seems to me a rational, just, and relatively cheap solution, especially if the combination of the announcement of the extension is coupled with a vigorous attempt to fulfill the motion's intent by renewing the round of carts, et cetera. I don't know that we ever got traffic reports, did we, from Lydia regarding how the carts were being played, as well as the repetition of the forums, because I've only heard one forum on PFW, and like I said, it was two candidates. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'll put myself on the stack. First of all, we have not heard back from the election supervisor, but I can tell you that in a conversation I had with her before the meeting, she told me that we're pretty much in the same ballpark as we were in the 2019 election, as far as the number of ballots, the percentage of ballots returned by this point. We actually have made quorum in three of the five station areas, KPFT, KPFA, and KPFK. WPFW and WBAI traditionally are very late in making quorum. Probably we'll make quorum there as well. And in any case, it's up to the election supervisor to extend an election if we don't make quorum. That's in the bylaws. So I don't really understand why this committee feels they have to put themselves in place of the election supervisor. Furthermore, I agree with Ron. This is not, it's true, this is not a perfect election. There have been some problems, but I don't see that the problems rise to the level of claiming that the whole election process is hopelessly flawed. I just don't see, I see no evidence for that whatsoever. Giving us anecdotal statements about two people on the governance committee not getting their ballot, that's not serious evidence.
Alex, your time is up.
So I think at the very least, we should avoid passing a motion like this, at least until you hear from the election supervisor. Finally, extending an election is not something you can do for free. It costs money. I don't know how much money it would cost us to extend for 2 weeks, let alone a month, but I gather to say it's probably in the tens of thousands.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
We can find out more if the election supervisor gets on the call. I hope she does.
Chair, may I be recognized, Lawrence?
Let's see.
Ali's on the stack.
Ali's on the stack. Yeah, go ahead, Ali.
Yeah, this is for anyone that wants to respond. In previous elections, a lot of times when we fail to reach quorum, we generally extend until we've reached quorum, sometimes extending it even twice. Would this be much different than that as far as the costs and other factors that we're debating here?
Well, since the election supervisor is not here to answer, I can try to answer. It's a decision of the election supervisor whether to extend the election. If we do fail to reach a quorum, the election supervisor does have the ability to extend the election. And that has happened in the past. It hasn't happened very recently, however, as far as I remember. I remember it used to happen like in the elections we had like 12 or 15 years ago. I don't think it's happened at all in the last 8 or 10 years. I might be wrong about that.
Chair, this is Lawrence. May I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Lesaraski, may he rest in strength, presented Les, extended the election quite a few times.
Yeah,
and there's
how
been
long, how long ago, Lawrence?
That was no, but you're saying you went back as far as 8 years ago. Lesser hasn't been with us for about 4 years now.
Yeah, I'm so saying I don't think we have to extend an election.
Okay.
But that's my
okay.
Memory.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. And I will hold you to your memory. That's fine. In regards to, I keep hearing this anecdotal evidence. The secretary provided a laundry list of non-compliance to this board. We provided a laundry list of things that were going out throughout the network. Because we are a community that represents all five stations in the network. So I really don't appreciate this anecdotal stuff being thrown around like you got bit by a snake and you need serum. That's not the case at all. What's the case is that there has been evidence provided. It's not anecdotal. Anecdotal is something that is possible, it's theoretical, but it's not factual. Here we have provided factual evidence in regards to some of the
time, Lawrence.
Thank you. Just give me 5 seconds, Heather. There's been questions of disparity. There's been questions of special treatment to other candidates. And then we have the 2,800 or so emails that have been uncovered. That the vendors did not have access to when the slates were sending out e-blasts. There are some things that are not anecdotal. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Chair James.
And Ron would like to respond.
Okay, James. James hasn't spoken yet, I think, on this issue. Go ahead, and then Ron.
Yeah, I want to say in a matter of anecdotal evidence that I once had my vote taken. I wasn't able to vote because I waited to vote until late in the election, and I had paid for my membership and another person's membership on my own email. And somehow the election system didn't recognize two people using the same email. I was obtaining a membership for a person who didn't have email, didn't use email. I didn't vote until late in the election. And by the time I voted and found out that there was a problem with my ballot, it was too late for the process to get to me and give me a new ballot. And so there's lots of situations like that where things like that happen. And just, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but the definition of anecdotal evidence is a factual claim relying only on personal observation collected in a casual or non-systematic manner. And that's what we've got here. We've got people telling stories like I just told about what happened to them, but that doesn't mean that the entire election is invalid or that there aren't valid explanations for what happened to some of these people.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, I'd also like to remind, you know, the committee that yes, we did receive that report. I believe it was back in June, you know, about the issues that the election was having. I remember that. But also, since that time, throughout the entire summer, you know, there was supposed to be talks going on between the committee and the election supervisor. And, you know, we didn't get any report saying that it wasn't going well. We didn't get any report saying that, you know, that the election supervisor is not listening or responding, you know, and but now we see this. So that's what I'm saying. You know, we, you know, that's what it is. You know, until we hear from the election supervisor, you know, regarding this, I can't see how we can, you know, properly vote, you know, on something like this, on a motion like this, without hearing from her. So that's all I wanted to say.
Vanessa to the stack.
Okay, I heard Dwayne. We haven't heard from Dwayne yet. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Thomas to the stack.
I consistently hear concerns, particularly from a particular individual that seemingly always steps on the work that a committee has done, notwithstanding that person not being part of the committee, but I've been in committees and many of them, including in this organization. And very laborious work is done. Long discussions, sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 meetings. Much information has been collected most of the time. And so I take issue with the fact that if these individuals who we voted on to represent our interests and the foundation's interests in this particular committee won't get listened to, won't be valued at the sake of listening to an employee, which is important. I don't discount that, but I put more importance on the hard work and the good work of our committee members. And if they have concluded that these are suggestions, I implore us to take them very serious and to act on them. And notwithstanding the fact that if in fact the employee comes online and refute it, you're still gonna have to make a decision whether or not the good work that the committee members have done,
Dwayne, whether it stands
as opposed to what the comments that the employee, but I would say act on the good work and the hard work that this committee and any committee has put forth before you. And I take issue with a consistent discount of the work that committees do in this organization.
Okay, Vanessa?
So, okay, two things. One, I would suggest that we suspend the discussion until the NES joins us. I don't think we ever should have started it with Howder, but we're at a point where we really, you know, people feel that they cannot make a decision without her input. And that is important. I understand that.
In terms of the quote-unquote anecdotal evidence, that's a word that O'Rourke used, you know, to describe the testimony, the statements that have been made by the public. Now, I don't know how representative those statements are with regard to the, you know, the whole election, but I would factor in certainly the statements that have been made by the NES, both here, you know, in the PNB, in terms of the challenges, the problems, the delays, the this, that, and the other, and the specific testimony that she's offered to the committee. And she, you know, there have been some problems. So then the issue becomes, how do we deal with those problems? And so, you know, one idea is let's delay the election. Another idea is, hey, let's keep it moving. You know, and again, it didn't happen in a vacuum. It happened from two extraordinary situations, the referendum and the pandemic. So I'd say let's wait until she gets here, suspend the discussion and take it up when she can join us.
Chair, I'd like to respond to some of the things that have been said. And I'll take, and then I like it.
No, you're not back, Lawrence.
I got my hand up, Chair.
Thomas, I heard you.
I got my hand up. My hand was up before I spoke.
Okay, but Thomas,
thank you, Chair.
Thomas said he wanted to be on the stack earlier. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm being ascribed to be, you know, the champion of anecdotal. I happen to know what it is, and to object to James's definition, which he, I don't know where he got it from, but at some point, everything is anecdotal unless you can get someone to fill out a survey before you even talk to them. They're going to tell you stories, and the way you interpret it is anecdotal, but it's through filters. And I assure you, an election committee would be a proper filter in which to hear anecdotal and sort of compile it as it comes in, evidence of disparities, missteps, et cetera. Voters without internet access are clearly being undervalued in this station. I've said myself, I had to request a ballot several times. And I have no idea why, or, you know, suddenly I'm off an email list. So whoever again was sending those out, you know, I've never heard a real cogent explanation as to the you know, why there have been so many problems reported. I have seen the election committee's chart labeled station status sheet with a date of middle of September, and there's you know, KPFK, various boxes of various stages of the election are filled out. KPFA has nothing filled out in front of it. I wonder if it complies in any way. So I'm just saying, there's plenty of reason to say this is more than anecdotal. This is a you know, in a meta-analysis, to throw that word in, it speaks to something rotten, and it's high time we admit it and rectify it. Thank you.
And Chair, we're at time for this item.
Okay. And Chair, I move that we extend for 5 minutes. I'd like to speak about some things that were said. I like Janine.
Lawrence, you cannot make two.
Okay. Now I move to extend for 5 minutes, Chair.
Okay. I'll allow that. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objections to extending for another 5 minutes? Okay, who wants to be on the stack for another
five? Lawrence to the stack, please.
And Vanessa to the stack, please.
You guys just spoke. Okay.
Well, Vanessa would like to have a point of personal privilege, please.
Oh, okay. You don't have to be on the stack for that. You can just ask for it. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I just wanted to let Thomas know that it was not a criticism. I was not making a criticism of him about using the word anecdotal. It's just a fact. It's not a positive or a negative, but it was kind of a triggering word, and, you know, used in a way to suggest that, you know, the committee had not done its job to present appropriate evidence. I think it's an appropriate word in this context. It was anecdotal, For better or for worse. So it's just a matter of how representative it was. But I just want to make it clear to Thomas, I was not being critical.
Thank you, Chair. May I have the floor now, Lawrence?
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. Brother Thomas, you don't have to be, you don't have to worry about being the anecdotal champion. I believe that jacket was put on me. And it's okay, I'll take it. Chris did point out, the reason I disagree with the anecdotal narrative is because this is a systemic problem. And thank you, Chris. As always, you come up with some gems. This is a systemic problem. And this is not the only election where there has been problems. Throughout our election cycles, there has been problems. So we are pointing out not anecdotal evidence, but we are pointing out that the systemic nature of the problems that exist with this election. So I'd like to yield the floor to Janine so she could speak on the report, the laundry list report, the yeah, systemic issues.
We don't have yieldings of the floor in this.
Okay, if you could please recognize Janine, Chair.
Well, if she wants to speak, she can ask to speak. Ms. Ronan, do you want to speak?
Well,
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
That report was issued, like I said, months ago. We're familiar with that report. We don't need to go over that again. You know, I mean, nobody's doubting the validity of.
Excuse me, Chair.
Point of information.
Did you recognize him or did you recognize Janine? Because he's the one that claim a certain date.
Hold on.
And I'd like the secretary to clear that up.
Lawrence, if Janine wishes to speak, let her speak now.
Thank you. We've met every week. So when we put forward the motion, I think on the 23rd, it was asking that we get reports from the NES on the status of the carts being in rotation. And she hasn't come to any of the meetings. So, you know, we've been taking toll of what the issues are every week. And there's still, I mean, this is 3 weeks that people have had their candidate carts edited, if they had them recorded at all. So it's out of the entire presentation or everything that we've been made aware of, really only, I would say only about 30% of it has been addressed and solved. And, you know, really extending it is the least that we can do. You know, it started late. You know, the request was to delay the start of the balloting. And by not doing that, it wasn't ready and everything was behind. And we've only had these carts in rotation for 2 weeks. And they're not even the right carts. So it's sad.
Chair, I'm sorry, point of personal privilege, please.
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to correct the statement, if I heard it properly, that the NES has not come to any meetings. I'm aware of at least one meeting that she came to, which is the meeting I referenced. In saying that she offered quote unquote testimony there about the challenges that she's faced.
Okay, can I comment? I don't think I said that she hasn't come to any of the meetings.
I'm sorry, if I misunderstood, my apologies.
Yeah, and if I did say that, I apologize. She came to our first meeting.
Sean for the stack.
Sean, a voice we have not heard from yet. Go ahead.
I just want to bring two things to the attention of the body. One, the motion from the committee asks for two things. An extension of the election and a joint meeting with the PNB. That's one. Two, Vanessa's motion was to postpone discussion of this item until, or the motion, until we hear from the NES. I don't think we're going to hear from the NES tonight. So what do we do?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Oh, you are. Okay. So, Renee, I don't know if you heard any of part of this discussion or what, but the Elections Committee, well, can I read you their motion? I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen their motion?
It would be useful to read it. I mean, I understand they're wanting an extension, but I really don't see how that's justified or even possible because of the finances.
And I was trying to explain that it costs money to extend an election.
Yeah, it costs money to extend the election. I mean, I for one haven't been paid yet this month.
Could you give one?
And if the vendors.
What would be a rough estimate of how much it would cost to extend the election at all five stations for another month?
For another month?
Yeah, that's what they're asking for.
Probably another, I would say, between $10,000 and $20,000. Okay. I'm not sure what the vendors would require, honestly. But if you're asking for my support, LES support, and vendor support, it's a lot. And it's not justified. I mean, I wanted to be more prepared and have essentially a comparison of voter turnout across stations at different points in time. And I actually did for KPFA and WBAI, just a really quick check comparing 2019 to now. And I actually could do that for the 3 years. And I think before anybody claims that there's hasn't been enough on air and that people don't know about it, we really need to look at the numbers. And, you know, if the numbers would point to a significant drop, then perhaps it's justified. But I just did a very small sample, and KPFK actually has a wonderful turnout, comparatively speaking. KPFA is pretty much on track. WBAI is, you know, basically the same. There isn't any lower turnout. But again, I know nobody, I haven't given the numbers. What I want to do is basically give very specific numbers for different points in time for the 2 month balloting period. The reason for 2 months is my experience in the past is 1 month wasn't enough, and 1 month is actually what had been done in the past. So 2 months actually allowed for the slower start, and we still have another 2 weeks. And so, you know, I think it's way too early to call for an extension, and Pacifica just there, the money isn't there. It just isn't. So I don't know what to say. I mean, we've reached quorum pretty much across the board, except for, you know, WBAI and WPFW listeners and staff are lagging behind, but 3 out of the 5 stations are doing pretty well. But the lagging is nothing out of the ordinary. You know, that's always been the case. There's nothing that's no different. I would say we're doing better. But I want to do that analysis first before, you know, right now my feeling is there's no justification for an extension based on, say, voter turnout or even cart rotation. We have had a lot of carts being on air. General and candidate, as well as all of the forums. So, you know, yeah.
Okay. What I think might be useful is if those people who support the motion of the Elections Committee, maybe they should be allowed to ask you questions and to point to the various deficiencies they're claiming exist, and maybe you can answer, and then the rest of, you know, then we could all sort of digest it and see what we think.
Yep.
Okay. To start.
Sounds good.
Okay, Thomas, you want to go first?
I'd like to ask Lawrence to the stack, and Ali has his hand up.
Lawrence and Ali, okay, go ahead.
I mean, what is the meaning of throwing out a $10,000 to $20,000 additional cost based on what exactly? It's not like we're employing people other than yourself. Well, I thought you were a consultant, and you know, I don't know if you're full time at this point. But what is that? How is that justified? That's question one. Question two: you hinted at having a cart report. Has the election committee seen that? You said you didn't have a report ready.
I've sent different reports that have. Just as they've been coming into me. In terms of the actual cost, it's labor. It is a full-time thing. I mean, I dedicate weekends, I dedicate evenings. I mean, it's nonstop ballot processing, it's individual processing, it's all of the data management, it's creation of the cards. And it's not only me, it's me and the vendors. And it's also one other, it's not the full LES, you know, that's why I gave a range, you know, because it's kind of hard to assess. There's one other person who's been helping me. His name is Steve. And I mean, honestly, this job, it sucks the life out of you. I hate to say it, but I can't work for less money. It doesn't make any sense for me. It's stressful. I work till the wee hours. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm not going to cut my rate to extend so that a few hundred more people will get their ballots in. Now, if it's justified, then I'll propose it. And obviously, I'm not going to be unreasonable, but there are vendors that are involved. That involves extending both of their contracts. They're two ballot vendors. And, you know, that additional data management on their end, as well as the paper ballots, because I'm sure there will be more paper ballot requests. I mean, each paper ballot is like $5, you know, and if that's just the material cost of producing that. So, you know, I'm just giving a range off the top of my head. I didn't want to lowball or, you know, be exorbitant, but that's the range that off the top of my head for a whole month of work, you know. So, I'm not going to, I did this job for many times for a very, very low amount of money. And now I'm getting well paid this year, but I cannot afford myself to extend without charging what I would charge, you know? And it's very transparent. The financials, how much I've been charged, I have charged in the past, and as well in every single report I've ever produced. And nobody's ever said anything about that or complained about that, because it is a lot of work and it requires a lot of skill. So, you know, I don't know what else to say about that.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. Thank you.
Okay, Lawrence.
Thank you, Renee, and thank you for providing some of the reports that you have gotten from the stations. There has been some traffic reports that you provided, and you have been diligent in regards to providing some reports to the Elections Committee. But we feel that there's a cause for remedy. And I understand no revolutionary can work without having resources, right? So I understand that you need to get paid. I completely understand that. And I wouldn't want anything else for you. But the cause for remedy is, you say that extend the election for a few hundred votes. Well, right now in our society, they're suppressing the vote. You have crazy people running around in state houses, disenfranchising BIPOC voters and elderly voters and indigenous people from voting. So if the extension will cause another 200 to 500 votes, I'm all for that. I don't think the issue is quorum. The issue is being able for every listener that is a subscribed member to address the systemic problem and be allowed the opportunity to vote for their candidates. Now, the cards have been altered. They have been reduced 30 Hi. Seconds. Okay, let me get 10 more seconds, Chair. There's that disparity. There's been other complaints of people not getting ballots. There have been concerns about the opportunity to reset your vote, right? So, and I know that adds to your arduous task, but the fact is that there is a cause for remedy. And if that would bring in 200, 300, 400, 500 votes, hey, why not? I think it's worth it for that to happen.
James for the stack.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Renee, do you wanna respond to that?
Well, so I'm not saying that I don't want to extend for X amount of votes. I want to correct what I meant. I think that we are going to get above and beyond turnout than we have in the past. And I do not see it really being a benefit to extend, you know, even it could be, you know, for that purpose. I mean, people have been requesting ballots from the beginning, and every day I'm processing them. And it's not like it would be something else if I was overwhelmed with ballot requests as well as with resets. You know, I'm not. It's a good influx, but it's not any more than in the past. So that doesn't indicate to me that, yes, people always have issues with the ballots. You know, right now, I think there's a little bit of a bigger issue about, you know, people not finding them because maybe they're marked more as spam because of it being back to back with the referendum. That's my theory, at least. I don't really have, that's a theory. OK, I don't know if that's the case, but I have noticed that there's a bit more people that haven't seen their ballots because they're routed to some other folder or bounced back or going to spam. That's why more postcards were sent. And, you know, I'm trying to basically be on top of that situation. I ask for alternate emails. I send people copies of their ballots to all the emails that I have on file. And, you know, and one gets through to them. And if that doesn't, you know, if they still don't get their ballot, then I, you know, what, you know, right now we were sending them, if they, for some odd reason, they're not getting their email ballot, they get it directly from me. So, or a paper ballot. Now the paper ballots, there aren't any more paper ballots, but, you know, I don't think it's as big of an issue as it's being made out to be. That's, I guess, the point that I'm trying to make. And in terms of getting people involved, this has been the issue from all of the elections that I've ever done. It's really hard to engage people. And I do not think it is. I think, and this is what I recommended across the board to all of the PDs and GMs, for them to put out an encouraging message to the staff that every single program, they encourage people to vote. Because if it's a staff from a program that people love, people are going to take it more seriously. It's not just some 1 minute cart, you know, either from a candidate or from an individual like myself, you know, telling people to vote, that's going to motivate them. You know, it's going to be from, you know, the stations really have to be engaged. And like, I can't force that. Nobody can force that. I know the general managers have put out messages. I've sent, you know, basically this, I sent this suggestion. I can't force this, you know, along with the carts, you know, okay, here's a general cart to put into rotation, and please, you know, send out a message, CC me on it to the staff to encourage the staff. And I give a little script to encourage people to vote. And obviously they personalize that script. I think it's a much bigger issue. Some little extension is not going to all of a sudden magically get people more engaged. It's a much bigger issue than that. Like, if you want listeners to participate and be engaged, it's a year long process. You know, it's, so that's, I don't see, you know, anyway, I'll stop there, but I think it's a much bigger problem, and it's not going to be resolved by a month long extension.
And Chair, we're at time again.
Well, let's at least finish the stack. Can we get an extension for another, say, 5 minutes?
Move to extend for five, James.
Second, Chris.
Again.
Okay. Do we have any objection to that?